I see two planes in the air.
A fight that's fair and square.
With dips and loops and rolls that would scare you.
I'm scared already.
We would force the German down.
And arrest him on the ground.
A patriotic lad from Bavaria.
Poor bloody sod.
But he'll surrender willingly.
And salute our chivalry.
For this war is not of our creation.
But before its prison camp.
And a bed that's cold and damp. We'll all have a little celebration.
Okay, so I'm here in the Little Theater. What's the name of the theater?
Meter Little Theater. Meter Little Theater at Russell Sage College, yes.
Okay, and I'm here with David Gerard and Michael
Musial.
And they have a very interesting program that's coming up. It's a play. I would say it's a two-man play that's built as a one-man show, though.
Yeah, sort of like that. Yeah, I like that description.
Well, that's the way that I've read that it's called. Anyway, so tell us a little bit about the play, David.
It's called Billy Bishop Goes to War. It was developed several years ago by two gentlemen, Eric Peterson and John Gray, I believe, and it was about 40 years ago. And it tells the story of Billy Bishop, who is the most famous Canadian fighter pilot. He was a World War I fighter pilot. He fought for the British because the Canadians were still a full British colony at that point. So he enlists and ends up fighting for the British cavalry and then discovers flying, becomes sort of obsessed with it, and then he becomes the most prolific World War I British pilot as a Canadian in the history of the war, even more than Albert Ball. Albert Ball is a very well-known British pilot from World War I, and Albert Ball had, I believe, 44 kills, what they called kills, when they brought a plane down. Usually he didn't live from that. Billy Bishop ended up with 73, I believe. 73 kills. 72 or 73. 72. 72 kills. So he kind of not only surpasses Albert Ball, but he surpasses him by quite a bit. He's a big hero in Canadian lore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read a little bit about the history of the play. It lasted for a week on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks off Broadway, and then they took it on the road, and you said that it's been on the road ever since.
It's been produced in Canada. It's Canada's most produced musical, on and off for 40 years. They traveled across Canada before it went to New York. I can't remember. Producer saw it in Canada, and then they brought it to New York, and indeed it lasted a week. And then I thought it lasted a little longer off Broadway. I didn't realize it was just 2 weeks. I thought it was a little longer. So it's celebrated as Canada's sort of most well-known and produced musical.
Now, the fellows who wrote it and who originally performed it are still alive, correct?
Indeed. They just performed it 2 years ago up in Toronto. They've been doing it. They did it when they were in their 30s, and then 20 years later when they were in their 50s, and then 20 years later when they were in their 70s. So they've been doing it a long time.
Of course, 70 is the new 50, so...
Yes, right. And John Gray's son actually starred in a version up in Western Canada a couple years ago. He's an alum of a theater program, and I happen to see that he... So his son is now doing the work.
And there are quite a number of songs in this as well?
Yeah, there's probably at least 12 songs, right? Yeah. So it's woven in. It's not a standard musical in terms of where the music bubbles up from the sort of scenes or the... It's more commentary kind of stuff. And it runs the gamut from sort of Canadian folk song, a little Irish kind of quality, Kurt Vile kind of influences, and then just some like the one we just heard, sort of a music hall kind of music.
Oh, we'll drink the night away.
When the Boches run away.
We'll fill them up with cigarettes and wine.
Of course we will. We'll drink a final toast to goodbye.
But for the grace of God go I. And we'll vow that we'll be friends. Cheers! Another time.
Tell me about you. Now, you have a number of characters that you play.
I think I play something like 18 characters. 17. Yeah, somewhere around 18 characters. And they run the gamut from British officers to members of the Royal Flying Corps to a British lady, a very domineering butler, a nightclub singer, a female nightclub singer, a French nightclub singer, Lady Helene. And Albert Ball himself, actually. And there's a lovely, lovely moment. I think it's my favorite moment in the play. He recites a poem called The Dying of Albert Ball, which initially when I read the play, I thought it was an actual poem, like a famous poem about Albert Ball. And actually, John Gray and Eric Peterson composed that poem, particularly for this show. And it's a lovely, lovely, lovely poem. It's in verse, and it's sort of, it's in a moment where Billy's sort of coming to terms with his own mortality, because the average life expectancy, one of the characters early on in the show, it's actually funny when he says it, but the average life expectancy for a pilot, a British pilot, not a German pilot. Germans had better machines, better pilots, but for a British pilot, was roughly 11 days. So to live was quite, just to live another day was kind of a victory in of itself. And so there's this moment after Albert Ball dies, and Albert Ball was at that point easily the most prolific British pilot they had. Very famous, very beloved amongst the British. And Billy himself is kind of coming to terms with his own mortality in that moment, realizing that to win a war like this, he said, there's this great line. He says, just to be alive is something of a sin. It's suicide. I mean, we've only been flying for, you know, a little over a decade, slightly over a decade, yeah. You know, by this point, and now we're putting planes in the air, fighting other planes. He describes some of the earlier planes, some of the earlier hardware that he's flying in, and he, at one point he refers to this one plane as a mound of cables and wires with about 500 pounds of equipment hanging off it, and of course it won't get up off the ground. It's got four machine guns, two bombs, and they remove everything from the machine except like two bombs, and they don't even give them the machine guns. So you're basically flying these unarmed machines over Germany, trying to drop bombs, but you can't protect yourself. It's interesting, though. Michael and I were talking about this yesterday, of how quickly technology, even just in World War I, how quickly, not just the Germans, certainly they were leaders when it came to aviatic warfare, but how quickly the Brits do adapt, and their planes do get better and better, and their pilots do get better and better.
Tell me when the performances are.
They are this Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m.
This Friday,
October 19th.
October 19th, October 20th. 21. And 21. 21 is at 2 p.m. That's Sunday. And then next week, it is October 26th, 27th, 28th, 26th, and 27th at 8 p.m. And Sunday at 2 p.m. So we are doing two matinees and two Friday and Saturday performances.
And how would people get tickets for this?
They can go to www.sage.edu/theater.
Say it again.
www.sage.edu/theater. Okay. With an R-E, I believe.
Yes, R-E.
Yeah.
So I understand that you're taking the show on the road for a bit.
Yes, we're going down to Morristown, New Jersey, to the Morristown Museum, the Bickford Theater there, for two weekends in November. Actually, right on, we're there on Veterans Day, which is actually the new name for Armistice Day, which was the end of World War I. So it's actually right on the 100th anniversary, and the play actually is 40 years old in November as well. So we're sort of celebrating a dual anniversaries here.
The play is called Billy Bishop Goes to War, and it's going to be held at the
Meter Little Theater at Russell Sage College.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking to me about this. And can you play us out a little?
Sure.
The names are so faded, you can forced to die till they're old. And friends ain't supposed to die in pain. No one should die alone when he is 21. And living shouldn't make you feel ashamed. I can't believe how young we were back then. Sure, we'll never be that young again. We were daring young men with hearts of gold, and most of us never got old.
Definitely McCartney.
I'm telling you.
Right? Yeah.